My name is Marco Russo. I'm here today to talk about how to create a project in managing services tabular using what we call the semantic model in tabular model. Just a couple of words. I'm a BI consultant. I'm also a book author. And I suggest you to read in our book about analysis services tabular model all the important information, not only the beginning that we will see today, how to start a new project, but how to create more complex calculation, how to deploy in complex scenarios. So we try to cover almost everything it was possible for a first release of a new product. And of course, on SQLBI.com, you can also find many white papers and articles and tools about analysis services. So I suggest you to take a look at our website too. What we are going to see, my session is 90% demo-based because we will spend much of our time in Visual Studio trying to create a data model. And we will see how to create a basic data model. So we will see the simple concepts like tables, relationships, calculated columns, and measures. We will go deeper than we have seen in the Power Pivot session that we have seen before, because we will see more the problems on the corporate BI side. And about tabular presentation layer, the second part, we will see how to add metadata to our data model in order to enhance the user experience by providing hierarchies, perspectives, KPIs, and we will also see some specific property of Power View. As I said, my session is mainly demo-based. I have, anyway, a few slides that you will see. We will take a look later, just to recap what we have seen during the demo. Well, we can start on Visual Studio. And here is my Visual Studio 2010 user interface. When you install analysis services in tabular mode, you should install the workspace components. And assuming we installed everything on a single machine, we have the ability to create a new project of type business intelligence. How many of you already have experience of previous versions of analysis services? Many of you, okay. For those of you that do not have any experience, as you can see, there are several type of projects here. And in particular, we have the analysis services multidimensional and the analysis services tabular. We will use the analysis services tabular. The multidimensional corresponds to the type of project that you had also in previous versions of SQL Server. This type of project is still here, and you can create new projects in multidimensional. In that model, you have a different data modeling option, you have a different language, which is MDX, and it is not changed since the previous version of SQL Server. At the same time, with Tabular, we have a new engine, a new language, which is DAX, and we will spend our time in this data model. However, if you have an old project, you can still edit this project in multidimensional, and I personally suggest you not to migrate, because Tabular does not have all the features of multidimensional, and chances are that you will not find how to implement in Tabular something that you already did in multidimensional. You have a reduced set of features in Tabular, but at the same time, you have a much more powerful engine, especially for leaf level calculation. If you are new to business intelligence, I suggest you to start with Tabular, because Tabular is much simpler to learn than multidimensional. So I start my project by using Tabular. And for those of you that already know analysis services multidimensional, what happened at the beginning is that I have to handle a single file, which is this model.bim file in a project. that doesn't have anything that you can recognize from the previous versions, if you learned previous version. Now, the user experience is similar to the one of Power Pivot. How many of you have seen my session yesterday or my session before in the next room? Many of you, but not all of you. So, by designing a data model in Tabular, you have to work with data. So, by starting a project, you fundamentally import data from a data source by using this feature. And in this case, I choose SQL Server, and I have on my SQL Server machine, which is localhost K12, if I remember well, I have my AdventureWorks DW2012 database. This database that I can show you here is fundamentally a database that contains a few tables, a few dimensions, and a few fact tables. I will simply import a few dimensions and one fact table to get the data from a single star schema. I will try to make the most simplest possible data model, because I am focused not to understand the data model, but to understand the features of analysis services. So I choose a list of tables here, and I choose to import just the fact internet sales, the DIM product, the DIM product subcategory, and the DIM product category. So I have just the products and the sales, nothing else. Now, if I click Finish, what happens is that the data are imported in my data model. And it seems that these data are imported in Visual Studio. Actually, this is not true, but we will try to understand what is happening behind the scene in a few moments. My perception is that I imported my data in Visual Studio. I can see all of the columns of all the tables that I imported with all of the data. So, for example, if I go in Fact Internet Sales, I can see here all the columns. I can filter data, for example, a particular order date key. I can see all the distinct values of this column here. I can remove the filter. I can set some filter, but these filters are just filters in Visual Studio. The data that I actually loaded in memory somewhere are still in memory. I'm not removing data, only if I put a filter before, but now once I import the data, data are in analysis services technically. Now, because I imported this data, I also imported the relationships between this data. So you can see here that I have a diagrammatic view which shows that this table have a few relationships. For example, my fact internet sales table has a relationship that I can highlight, and this relationship shows that the product key column is related to the product key column in the DIM product table. How this happened? Because between these tables that I imported in a single step, the wizard detected the existence of a foreign key relationship between these tables, and it transformed this foreign key relationship into a relationship between entities in my data model in Tabular. This is important because there is an automatic propagation of filters between tables when you make a calculation over these tables. Now, in reality, as I said, data are not in Visual Studio. What is happening? In reality, if I connect to Analysis Services Tabular, I have an instance of Analysis Services that is this one. HP8 is the name of my notebook. Tabular is the name of the instance of Analysis Services. I opened this before. If I now refresh the databases here, you will see a new name here, which is this Tabular project, because I used the Tabular project default name, Tabular project 2. Then there is an underscore, that is the my name, Marco, and the global unique identifier. So when I created the project, Visual Studio connected to Analysis Services and created on the fly a new database. In this database, my tables have been imported with all of the data. So in reality, what is happening is that my Visual Studio client is acting as a client regarding this tabular server. Every time you perform a change in the data model, this change is propagated to analysis services, and an XMLA script, which is an XML command that contains instructions in order to transform, to change the data model, is sent to analysis services, and Visual Studio query the data again in order to show you the result. When you use Power Pivot, these operations happen within the same process, because the engine of analysis services is loaded in the same process of Excel. In this case, you have two separate processes that in this case are in the same machine, but you could have a remote server with analysis services and just Visual Studio with the workstation components in your notebook. I suggest you to have everything in one machine for performance reason, because every time you perform an action on the user interface of Visual Studio, there is a latency that occurs because Visual Studio communicates with analysis services, and this round trip requires time, because you have to communicate between two processes, and if these two processes are on two different machines, the latency is higher and you wait more. We are talking about hundreds of seconds, maybe, but after a while you see that it is lower than Power Pivot, just for this reason. So the server that contains our temporary database is called Workspace Server, and this is the Workspace database. So when you work with Visual Studio, you need an analysis services instance running that acts as a Workspace Server for your Workspace database. Without that, you are not able to work with Visual Studio. This is a different user experience compared to analysis services multidimensional that does not require a running instance of analysis services until you deploy the solution to the server. Okay. What if I want to change this? What if I want my data model to be connected to another workspace database? Well, this information can be changed, and can be changed in several ways. First of all, in the tools, options, analysis services here, you have this window that allows you to specify what is the default workspace server, and you can also specify what has to happen when you close your project, when you close Visual Studio. The workspace database can be persisted on analysis services so that the next time you open Visual Studio, it is already there, or you can remove it every time you close Visual Studio. If you are working on the same project for several days, it is better if you keep it in memory. If you just open several projects every day, but you do not work so much, it is better if you every time you open it, you delete it. If you don't, if you delete the project from the workspace database, every time you open the project, data have to be read again from the original data source. We have spent just a few seconds, but if we had hundreds of millions of rows, it would have been a problem. However, because this is our temporary database, it is better if we work on a subset of original data in order to create our project. And when we will deploy the final solution to the production server, then we will connect to the complete set of data, because otherwise every operation occurs with a very large set of data, which is not a good idea. So here you can set the default for a new project, and this default can be changed on every single project by going in the property of the project. Let me just go here. As you can see, Model Beam has a few properties. This is the file I selected. In these properties, I can select here the workspace server name and the workspace retention. So what to do when we close the project. So you can change the default behavior for every single project you have in these properties. And this is an important thing because, you know, this could, the data of analysis services tabular are kept in memory. So you cannot afford to have too many projects open in the server because they occupy a lot of memory, and at the end you can finish your memory. Well, at this point I can do another thing. I can try to work on my project defining some measures, some calculation, and some of different types. So what I can do is, for example, trying to make a calculation about fact internet sales. We have here the total sales amount here. We have the total product cost. I could try to calculate the margin. So for example, I could write a column here that is equal to fact internet sales, for example, sales amount minus fact internet sales total product cost. This is a calculated column, and this column has a formula that is duplicated row by row and is evaluated row by row. This is the gross margin. Now I can use this column in order to, you know, I will use this column to create a sum, but the point is that I defined a formula for a new column in my data model, and this column has been evaluated row by row. By doing that, analysis services don't have to request data to SQL Server again, because the storage of the data in Tabular is column-based, which means that each column has its own structure in memory. And when you add or remove a column from the data, you do not have to process the other columns of the same table. The operation that is hard to do in this structure is inserting a new row or deleting a row. But when you add a new column, it is not an issue. And it does not require to process data again. I will use a calculated column for other purposes, but if I now try to navigate into the data, I could try to see if I am already able to see my numbers. And the bad news for users of Visual Studio is that you do not have anymore an integrated pivot table in Visual Studio. In previous version of SQL Server, you had the Office Web Component that allowed you to navigate into the data. And this is the bad part. The good part is that you don't have to deploy the model in order to run a query. Why? Because every time you make a change like this new calculated column, you already deployed a change to a temporary database. So what you have to do in order to navigate data is to click this icon here, which call Excel. So if you are used to have everything on a server, you have to install Excel on a server, which is something that some people don't like to do. And when you do that, you open an install of Excel that connects to the analysis services server and opens a pivot table using this connection. In fact, this pivot table at this time has, let me show this connection that contains, as you can see, the connection string contains here data source equal to HP tabular. And the initial catalog, which is the database name, is the name of the temporary database that has been created for this workspace database. So actually, you can open a new Excel by yourself and you can write this connection string by hand. But of course, doing that by using the button in Visual Studio is much simpler. Once you have this, you can navigate into data. And now, if you observe the the user experience with Power Pivot before, you see a different pivot table now. Because in particular, you cannot get a column from the fat internet sales table, like, for example, sales amount, and put this column here. As you can see, I cannot do that. Why? Because this is like a regular pivot table. From the point of view of Excel, Excel is connecting to an external OLAP database. And Excel talk with this database by using MDX. And in MDX, you can only query existing measures. So once you move your data model into analysis services, you have to expose in an explicit way the measures that the user is able to query. It's a very different user experience than Power Pivot. In Power Pivot, the end user creates measures on the fly by just getting a column and dropping a column in the pivot table. Once you move the model to analysis services, you cannot do that. And if you think why, it is because every time you add a column in Power Pivot, you are actually changing the data model, creating a new measure. This model is on the server. The user does not have the rights to modify the data model on the server side. For this reason, if you look at the available measures here, you see no measures defined. In order to enable the user to browse my data, I have to go back to Visual Studio. And I have to say, well, I want to sum the cross margin. And the simplest way to do that is clicking on the sum button that creates a DAX formula that says the measure named sum of gross margin will be calculated by using the sum of this column. And that's it. We can do the same for every column we need. So, for example, we can do the same for sales amount. We can do the same for total product cost. And now, without deploying anything, I just switch to Excel. I just have to refresh my pivot table, and the measures appears here. And now I can browse my data. So I can put my sum of sales amount here, sum of gross margin, product cost, and I can also use all these columns to filter my data, to navigate into my data, and so on. Okay? So I have the need to explicitly declare the measures that the user has to use. Now, I created a few measures. I created a few dimensions that I navigated. What I can do now is trying to enrich my data model, for example, to provide a better user experience. Let's try to see what are the problems now. Because I just imported tables without doing anything more than import the table by default, if you look at my data, I don't have a calendar table. I don't have the years. I forgot to import the calendar table. I intentionally forgot. So I go back to my data model. And for example, I go here and say, well, I want to import the data from data source. And in this case, I could use Microsoft SQL Server and I could specify again the same information of the connection that we used before. So if I do that, I should, where is my mouse? I should write the name of the server again. But I stop now because this is not the right thing to do. I already defined the connection in my data model. I don't want to create too many connections in my project that points to the same server. This will be useless. This will be more expensive to manage because I will have to maintain more connections that points to the same server. It is better if you go to existing connections and select the connection that you already used. In this case, I'm recycling the same connection, and so I will not increase the number of the number of connections in my data model. And I select dim date. Dim date is the table that contains for each day a row with the year, the quarter, the month name, and so on. I click finish here. This data is imported. And now, assuming that the relationship has been created, I go back to Excel. I refresh my data. I see my DIN date here. Good. I try to put the calendar year here, and I see an issue. The year is not filtering my data. Why? Because I didn't import my tables in a single operation. If I go to the diagram view, I will see that my calendar table does not have any relationship with the fact internet sales table. And this is because the relationships between tables are only detected between tables that are imported in a single operation. When you import a table in a second moment, even if it comes from the same server and it has relationships with the tables that you previously imported in your data model, these relationships are not used. And so you have to manually define the missing relationship. So I go here, and I set a relationship between the order date key and the dim date in this case. So I want my year to filter the order date. Once I did this, I just refresh my pivot table and I see my data that are now filtered correctly. So this is important. Try to import all the tables at once, but in any case, because we suggest to use views instead of tables, because in views you can filter columns, you can adjust the column names and so on, it is way better to anticipate this in the view, and then because if you import view, you don't have relationships, you have to create this by yourself. Another thing that we can do is, because we want to, this is a date table, we have a few operations that we should perform. The first is make sure that this is detected as a data table in analysis services. And in order to do that, you have to say mark as date table. You have to say that this column, a column that contains a date time column, will be used to consider the date for this table, regardless of the names of the columns and of the content of other columns. This is important because it enables the usage of year-to-date calculation or something like that. Another important thing is to set correctly the sort order of the columns. So, for example, if I now go in Excel and I say, well, I want to look at the English month name here. As you can see, the names are sorted alphabetically, which is not a good idea. I want to show the names of the months sorted by the month number. And you can do that by specifying that, for example, the English month name here is sorted by another column, like, for example, month number of year. Okay? As soon as I do that, I go back here and I refresh. So every time I do something in Visual Studio, this propagates to analysis services, and as soon as I refresh the pivot table, I see the correct results here. Of course, I can also create hierarchies like I did before in Power Pivot. Now I can drill down, drill up, but I had to choose manually the correct column. I can define predefined path of navigation by using what we call hierarchies. I can select, for example, calendar year, calendar quarter, and English month name, right-click, create hierarchy, and I have my hierarchy monthly. I go back in Excel now, as soon as I refresh this table, as you can see, if you have at least one hierarchy in a dimension, in a table, you can see all the levels of the hierarchy below this name and all the other columns that are considered the attributes of a dimension are put in the more fields area. If you are used to the pivot table in multidimensional, you should be familiar with this user interface because fundamentally every column in the table is considered as a browsable attribute in the dimension. Whereas when you define a hierarchy in tabular, it is considered as a user-defined hierarchy in multidimensional. So we have this correspondence between each table in the tabular data model is a dimension in our pivot table. Each table that contains at least one measure is also a measure group that contains the measures. Every column is a browsable attribute. Every hierarchy is a user hierarchy. That's it. So this is the correspondence between tabular and multidimensional that enables to use any existing OLAP client tool. We are looking at Excel, but if you have ProClarity, if you have Strategy Companion, if you have Excel Cube, if you have any other OLAP tool, it should work without touching anything. So I think that we can go back to the slides to make a short review. And we have seen what is the workspace server. I will show you the deployment server, which is similar to multidimensional anyway. You can specify what to do when you close the project respect to the workspace database. The workspace database is easily identifiable by this name and the global unique identifier. You can remove it. If I close my Visual Studio and I see this database, I can remove it. When I open Visual Studio again, it just works. It will not show me the data. And in order to do that, I have to refresh the data. It could be interesting to look at what happened, because if now I close Visual Studio, for example, I save my data model, I go here, and I remove this database. Delete. Delete, okay. This does no longer exist. I open Visual Studio again. I open the last project. And what happened now is that the project exists, but I have no data. I will see the column names, I will see no rows. Because I don't have anymore the data. If you want to look at the data, you have to refresh these tables. Process all, read data again from SQL Server into the workspace database. And you can, at this point, start to work with your data. Of course, you can always deploy. In order to deploy, you have to be sure that in the properties window, you set the deployment server correctly. In this case, I have the name of my local server correctly. So if I deploy this data model, I will deploy a project that is called Tabular Project 2. Yes. And if I now refresh here, you can see that I have two instances, two databases. Tabular Project 2 is the one I deployed. It will not be touched anymore by Visual Studio until I deploy it again. Whereas the other project, Tabular Project Marco, blah, 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 changes every time I touch anything in Visual Studio. Okay? Okay. Sorry, let me go back here. Okay, so we have seen project properties. We have seen model properties that are the properties for the workspace retention that we discussed before. We have seen the calculated columns. The calculated columns are persisted in the database. The database is in memory. So every time you create a calculated column, you extend the size of the database in memory. Whereas when you define a measure, you just define a formula that will be evaluated at query time. So when the user browses the pivot table. A measure does not require memory. It could require memory actually when you query data, but it's a temporary memory. It is not persisted in any case. We have seen that we have the data view, which is the content of the tables that we have in the project, and we have the diagrammatic view, which shows me the relationships and the hierarchies between the columns that we defined. You can also specify information about the data source impersonation option regards the user that analysis services will use to connect it to SQL Server. Now that you understand that every time I work with data, in reality, analysis services request data to SQL Server when you process data, you could specify which user has to be used. I use the user of the local service account, but in case you have databases on different servers, you may have issues in using that standard user, and you may want to impersonate another user. This option is defined when you define the data source. We have seen tables, relationships, calculated column, measures, and hierarchies. We have seen how to use Excel to query data. We didn't spend time looking at SQL Server Management Studio. SQL Server Management Studio enables you to see the metadata, but where is it? Here? If you say, well, I want to browse this data, you can create a query. You do not have DAX. You can create a query in MDX. You do not have a browser. You just have this user interface that enables you to write select from model. This is, if you know, MDX. This is just MDX. For example, I can write the gross margin here, the calendar year here on rows. I click F5, run, year. Let me do this better. This way, better. And I have year by year my data there. You can also specify non-empty if you want to remove the empty rows and so on. But this is MDX, this is not DAX. In reality, when you use Excel, you are using MDX. But you can use DAX too. When you create an MDX query and you ignore the fact that you wrote MDX, you can write evaluate. For example, summarize. This is an equivalent query that I write in DAX. I want to summarize the fact internet sales table. I want to group data by dim date calendar year. And I want to show sales as a sum of fact internet sales amount. Now, this is a different syntax, of course, but technically, this is the same result that we have seen before. In reality, MDX retains formatting options that you can define in the data model. DAX does not. It is up to the client tool to provide the right formatting to the result. The result of a query is just data, does not contain any formatting. MDX is much more sophisticated in this regard. The client tool has to read the metadata from the data model and to detect which is the right formatting for that particular column. By just running a query, you do not get this formatting information automatically. Of course, in the future, Microsoft will provide a more advanced editor. By now, if you want a better editor than this one, because you cannot drag and drop data here, because this syntax is MDX, is not DAX, you could download DAX Studio, which is an add-in freely available from Codeplex. And with this add-in in Excel, you can actually query a tabular data model or a Power Pivot data model in Excel 2010. By now, it is not compatible with Excel 2013. But I hope we will release a new version very soon. It is an open source project, so you can freely download both the installer file or the source code. And you can also contribute to the code if you want. And just the difference is that in this case, you can just write evaluate, summarize, fact, internet sales. Instead of writing this, you can just let me connect to the right project here, fact, internet sales. And for example, dim date. As you can see, when I drag and drop the column, the syntax is already correct. And I can also write this one. In fact, internet sales, sales amount. It should work. And you can project the total also in a query table in Excel, which is interesting because actually what we did, we copied the DAX syntax into the connection file of this table. So at this point, you can just refresh this table and run the query again in Excel. So Excel is running a query index against the tabular instance. DAX Studio, look on Codeplex. Or search on Bing or whatever. Okay. Oh, sorry. Where is this one? So let me see how much time we have. So the beginning, what we have seen until now is just how you create a data model in Tabular, how you start a basic project. And the more complex projects are handled by simply creating more complex DAX formulas. You do not have a particular data modeling properties other than what we have seen. Relationships are just one too many, based on a single column. You can import data, you can select the data type, but the data type is not important, for example, for the size of the data in memory. It is just important for the conversion of values. But the size of data in memory is caused by the number of distinct values in a column, not by its data type, like in SQL. And what we can do in the data model is enhancing the metadata that provides a richer user experience with some client tool. So we talk about the tabular presentation layer. So what are the things that we can do to improve our data model? And these are not functional, are more aesthetic. First, it is better if you use meaningful names. I mean, when I import the data, I import the data from the tables. I use dim fact, dim date, dim blah, blah, blah. It is not nice. An end user would like to see customer, sales, not fact, internet sales. Who cares about this is a fact or a dimension? This is something that is relevant to us, not to the end user. And even if you can rename names later in the project, it is a very bad idea trying to do that. And the reason is that, if you remember, I created a few formula before. Let me go back to the data model. Where is? I have this formula here. In the fact internet sales, I created the gross margin. I created this formula. I could also create the gross margin percentage. Gross margin percentage, which is equal to this number divided by the total product cost, for example. And
What is the problem?
Maybe.
Merge, purge. Does not exist. I wrote something wrong.
Ah, yes. Sum of. Okay. Because I referenced the IntelliSense sometime is not perfect. Okay. Now I have this one. This is a percentage, so I can set, for example, the correct formatting. And this is something that we can do by using the properties here. So as you can see, format, percentage, and we can also specify how many decimal places. So in this area, the properties of a measure, of a column, you can specify display, how to display, how to correctly visualize the data. Now, if I realize that I wrote, I imported the name with the wrong, in the wrong way, I want to rename this by using just the cost. Okay? When I do that, what happens? I'm going to break any other calculation that is based on this column. Because there is no automatic refactoring of existing formulas when you rename an object. When you rename a table, when you rename a column, when you rename a measure, everything that is based on that is going to be broke by this modification. For this reason, it is very important if you think in advance what are the right names to use for your column and tables. It is just for maintenance. Sorting. We have already seen that you can sort one column by using another column. I did this for the month. There is one requirement. When you use the sort by column option, a one-to-one relationship must exist between the two columns. It is very important. Otherwise, you get an error. We have many formatting options that are available for each measure and for each column, and are in the properties area of Visual Studio that you have seen before. We have to see perspectives. Perspectives are exactly like perspectives in analysis services multidimensional. You can define a perspective that contains a subset of the information for the end user. The only problem is that we cannot use perspective for a security reason. Let's see how it works. If I create a new perspective, for example, simple sales, I say, well, my simple sales has to contain just these three measures, just the English product category name, all the columns from the DIM date, and nothing else. When you do that, you can connect to this data model by using this perspective, for example. So the connection string changes, and when you open Excel, you have a reduced set of metadata here. It seems a security feature, it is not. Because if I connect to this table by using this connection string, I can run any DAX query knowing how the other columns, how the other tables are named, and it will work. The only way to implement security is to use the security feature. You can do that by using security role, but it's another feature, and does not work in the same way. Because when you define a role, you can define a filter for every table that filters rows. You cannot filter columns, you cannot filter tables. You can just filter the rows of a table, which sometimes is good, sometimes is not exactly what we want to do. So in other words, there is no way to completely hide a measure to the end user if the user knows the name and can write the DAX code by hand. And the user with Excel can do that. It has just to open a new connection and copy the DAX code. He has to know some information, but you are not implementing security with perspectives. That's the point. Okay. Then we have a sort of set of surfacing properties. What does it mean? Most of these properties are useful for Power View experience. In Power View, you have a few behaviors that depends on this metadata, fundamentally. For example, let's see how Power View works. And I can open, instead of using Excel 2010, I use Excel 2013. With Excel 2013, I can actually connect to analysis services. And I can connect to my Tabular Project 2 model. And I can open a Power View report. Okay. Now, if I double click a table, nothing happened now. But in reality, you can obtain a behavior here by choosing which are the columns that are selected by default when you drag and drop or double click the entire table. If you want to do that, or you want to obtain other features, you have to handle that with the surfacing properties. We go back in Visual Studio now. And for example, we can say that in our DIN product table, as you can see here, we have this table behavior that has several properties. If we go in this dialog box, we can choose, first of all, a row identifier. If a table contains a column that is unique for the entire table, you should select that column as a row identifier. This selection, in this case, for example, the product key is the unique identifier for each row of my table, so I can use it as a row identifier. Once you do that, you obtain several features, several additional features. You can, for example, choose which are, what is the default label? So the most important column, for example, English description, English product name. What is the default image? I have a column that contains an image for each product. There are a few visualization features in Power View that shows pictures. You can instruct which is the picture to use when you select one entity from one table. And you can also say, for example, that if I have products that have the same name, I want to keep them unique or not. Now, in the case of the product, it is probably wrong to do that. But think about the customers. If you have two customers that have the same name, but different IDs, different personal identifiers, these are two different customers that have the same name. I don't want them to be confused. So when you say keep unique rows, you say, if I have two values in this column that are the same, but have a different value for the row identifier, keep them unique. In this way, you can visualize, for example, a customer's table that does not aggregate all the names that are the same for different customers in Power View. This is important. If you're used to analysis services multidimensional, every attribute has a key and a name. In Tabular, you just have columns. And you have always the key and the name that are the same thing. So this is the only way you can obtain a different behavior in this particular case. Now, so in this case, I don't want to do that. I want to change another thing, which is the default field set. As I said, when I double click my products, I want to include the product name, the color, and the model name. So I choose between the many columns I have a reduced set of columns, and this information today is only used by Power View. Excel does not use this information. Now that I did this change, I go here. I don't remember now if it is able to refresh this information soon. So probably it is better if I delete this one and I open this again. And I connect to my workspace here. And the Power View. And now, when I double click here, okay, as you can see, I obtained a table that has just the three columns that I selected before. So this metadata provides a richer user experience in Power View in this case. Finally, in Power View, you may have the need to do other things. Like, for example, if I choose to look at the data of the sales, for example, sum of sales amount, date, and you want to use the month. So you want to look at the data by calendar year and English month name. Now, calendar year is this one, do not summarize. And you want to look at this as a line. Now, what is the problem? I cannot use, you could do that. You could say, well, I want to look at the 1 year, and I can drill down 1 year looking at the month. But this is not what we want to do. We want to look at the year and month as a single axis. Unfortunately, you cannot do that in Power View. You can do this in Excel. If you think about Excel, Excel has this chart. You can combine two attributes together, and you can project the 2001 and then all the months of 2001, 2002 and all the months. So you can see a single line that go for every month in many years. But in this case, if you want to obtain this behavior, you have to create a specific column in the data model that contains both year and month. So in order to do that, we have to change the data model in this case. And for example, we can do this in an easy way. We can just say, well, this equal to, for example, calendar year, ampersand, it is better if I use multiplied 100 plus month number of year. If I do that, I obtain this column, which is a different value that is sorted in the right way for each month in each year. So year, month, for example. And now that I have year, month, I can go to my Power View view. I don't remember how to refresh this one. Because when you work with Power View disconnected from Excel, let me try here, refresh all. It works. And I have here, I don't have here the right one. So let me delete this one. I should save and open it again anyway. I can get external data, existing connection, this one, Power View, okay. And this time I should see in the dim data table my year month number here. I don't want to summarize. I want to look at the fact internet sales sales amount. And now I can see my line, which is more correct. Now, this is because I don't have all the data put in the right month for my distribution. This is a sample data that is not good for this visualization, but in any case, this is the way we should handle that. Okay, go back to the slides. And this is what we have done now. You can also define a KPI. The KPI is a visual representation of a value. This is available also in Power Pivot. And fundamentally, it is based on a measure. So you simply go here in the measure definition, for example, in fact internet sales, sum of sales amount, and you create a KPI, and you can use a comparison, which could be another measure or an absolute value. For example, we could say we want to look at the sum of total product cost, and if we are at 102%, we are bad, more than 110%. So we are creating a comparison between total product cost and total sales, and we want to display some color based on that. Once you do that, if you go in Excel, I should have this one. I refresh the table. Oh, this is changed probably. This was the yes, this was the old one. So let me open another one, and I will see here my KPI. So I can see my sales amount, my goal, and the status, which is green in this case, and I can browse my data, for example, for all the categories, and look at this value. Now, probably I should have chosen other distances to show some green and red, but this is the idea, to create a KPI. So, conclusions. It is not a bad idea using Power Pivot for creating prototypes. Because in Power Pivot, you have exactly the same feature you have seen in Visual Studio, except except security and partitions. Security is the role-based security. Partition is the ability to define for each table several partitions in order to load data in different times and to avoid to load the same data again and again just because the last month changed. You should move to analysis services only when you need to add security or partition and you want to control the process of each partition. In both cases, it is a good idea to learn DAX in order to create the formulas that gives you the desired calculation for both calculated columns and measures. Thank you very much if you have any question. Questions? Question. There is a microphone, or maybe here? No, I don't see. I will repeat the question. In this case, by using tabular, you are not... Okay, I repeat the question. The question is about what engine we are using, MOLAP, ROLAP. In reality, we have a completely different engine. When you work in tabular model, you are using X-Velocity memory engine, which is called also Vertipack. It's an in-memory columnar database that is completely different than MOLAP or other things. You can enable direct query, which is similar to ROLAP, but in direct query, every DAX query is converted into a SQL query. By doing that, you lose many features because direct query does not support calculated columns, does not support time intelligence features, and does not support security. So you have a restricted set of features when you use direct query. When you use the standard in-memory mode, you are using a completely different engine, which is based on DAX. And when it receives query in MDX, these MDX queries are converted not in DAX queries, but in an execution plan for the storage engine. So technically, you are using the formula engine of MDX plus the storage engine of in memory. So it's a hybrid version of the two. Question? Sorry, repeat the last one.
Calculations. Yes. When we use MDX, like year to period, y to data formulas, parallel periods.
Okay. Many questions. So in terms of features, Tabular has less features than MDX. That said, time intelligence is completely supported even if you use a different approach and different formulas. But there are formulas in DAX to do that. Drill through is supported. The user interface of Visual Studio does not provide you a way to customize the drill through. So you cannot select the columns to drill through. But if you install Bits Helper, which is a free add-in that you can download from Codeplex, Bits Helper enables you to change this because the engine supports the drill through. The user interface of Visual Studio forgot to implement a drill through customization feature. But because Analysis Services Tabular uses the same infrastructure of Analysis Services Multidimensional, many of the existing features in Multidimensional are already here, especially if they are not based on MDX. So the drill through works. The actions works too. Again, in order to customize the actions, you have to use the Bits Helper. Because the drill through is just a specific type of action. However, the actions are supported for queries that arrives in MDX. So Excel works, because Excel generates query in MDX. DAX does not have the drill through syntax, does not have the action syntax. So if you have PowerView does not use all this information. But Excel, yes, Excel can be customized. Other calculation, fundamentally, you do not have the MDX script. So there are workarounds. We wrote a few papers about, for example, the parent-child with the unary operator. We do not have a very good replacement for custom roll-up formulas in MDX. And we absolutely do not have a good replacement for complex MDX scripts based on scope statements. But my experience is that 80% of the times you wrote in a scope what you could have obtained in a different way in DAX. And just for performance reason, you use the scope in some way. But when you are able to create a formula that operates at the leaf level, like you can do in DAX, without a performance penalty, technically you can obtain a lot of the features that you had. Usually you use scope-based calculation in order to change the way a particular tree of a hierarchy is considered when you aggregate data. So, for example, you have an account and you want to change the calculation for the upper level of this account. Many, many times, you can obtain the same behavior in DAX, unless you have very complex rules to implement. In that case, the problem is that the DAX becomes a nightmare, because you have to write a single statement with everything, and it is hard to read. Another question there?
Yes, I have a question about many-to-many relationship. Is there any maintaining for this relationship, many-to-many?
Okay, the question is about the many-to-many relationships. First, let me show you almost everything that we can say about that you can find on this paper. Let me show you. AI.com. I'm not able to write this. Okay. Articles. There is a white paper here. This one. Many-to-many revolution 2.0. So if you go in the SQL BI website, this paper is 120 pages, and it covers many-to-many in both multidimensional and tabular. That's it. We don't have a way to handle relationship in the data model, many-to-many relationship in the data model. But we can create DAX formulas that makes that performs calculation by using the many-to-many relationship. The problem is that you do not define the relationship in the data model. The relationship is in the formula. If you have 100 measures that have to be applied with the many-to-many relationship, the problem today is that you duplicate a piece of DAX code in 100 measures, which is not very maintainable. But that said, it works, and the good news is that many times it is way faster than MOLAP. We use a tabular in a scenario where in financial application we had transactions that can be done in any currency. Reporting has to be done in any currency that is chosen at query time. We have the currency conversion table. It is a nightmare of many-to-many relationship with millions and millions of rows. It is way faster in this way than in multidimensional, because we had to perform the calculation at query time. Question?
Okay, question. I didn't catch. Do we have limitations with SQL view? When we work in tabular mode in Visual Studio, you told that last session that we can work with tables but not views. Do we have?
No, we can work
with views.
We suggest to use views. Not only we can, we suggest to use views, because if you use views, you have a sort of contract between the tables in the data model and your data model. The tables in SQL and your data model. If you connect directly to the table, the real problem, in my opinion, is that over time, if someone change anything on the table and rename one column, do anything, you broke the existing data model. And it is an issue to open the data model and fix it. If you have a view, you just have to fix the view. If you create the view with the schema binding option in SQL Server, you get an error if you try to change the table, and you detect the error before doing that. So you realize, oh, I'm going to break a view, so I have to repair the view in order to make the change to the table, which is the suggested thing to do.
Okay, thank you.
The only thing is that with the view, you do not import the relationships, but you lose 2 minutes to create the relationships. It's not
I understand. I want to use views, yes, but I heard at the last session today, at first your session, yes, that we have the limitation. We can't use views when we work in not in Visual Studio, but in.
No, sorry. Probably.
Maybe it was.
Probably I said it in the wrong way. I don't know.
When we
You can import views in a Power Pivot too. The only limitation is that when you get data from the views, you do not import automatically the relationships. This is the only limitation, nothing else. But once you create the relationship in the diagram view, done.
Okay,
and it's exactly the same. You do not have any performance penalty to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry for misunderstanding. Some other questions? No questions. Thank you very much.
Это Петя. Он создал социальную сеть Button Finder, в которой любой студент может найти себе онлайн-помощника и, ничего не зная, сдать экзамен по любому предмету, даже по теории квантовой энтропийной логики. Его чуть не исключили из института за это, но он не расстраивается. Ведь теперь он самый богатый студент третьего курса. Windows Asia. Будь на высоте и не забывай проходить ТО на новом Porsche. Это Олег. Он системный администратор в крупном интернет-магазине подарков для женщин. И это первое 8 марта, которое он проведет со своей девушкой. Потому что теперь он уверен, что сбоев в работе сайта не будет даже сегодня, во время пиковой нагрузки. Windows Asia. Будь на высоте, и тебя полюбят. Это Анна Сергеевна. Сын подарил ей Windows Phone, на котором установлено приложение QViewer.